Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Peter Maxwell Slattery Show. And today we've got our guest in America, Suzanne Chancellor. How are you going, Suzanne?
I'm doing really well, Peter. Thank you for having me today.
Ah, you're right. Whereabouts in the states are you located?
I live in on the East Coast in Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, cool.
The smallest state in the United States.
The smallest.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So you're on the East Coast. Is that near New York up that way?
Yes, it's about 3.5, almost 4 hours away.
Cool.
We're north of New York,
North.
Between Maine and New York.
All right. Sweet. Sweet. Now, you're an experiencer, and it's been happening for a long time for yourself. Would you like to go into, hearing other things and that what you've done? It's like I was mentioning before is how it's sort of like you have all these experiences when you're younger, and then you get to a certain age, and then you realise that what you may have not thought was real or was a bit odd when you're younger, you sort of realise this was part of it, and you're not sort of loopy or crazy at a certain point when you get older. Would you like to go through sort of where you realised that what was going on was real, even though you would have knew it was real at the time, but just, you know, society telling you sort of it's not?
Right.
Would you like to go into that?
Sure. I was, at the time, I was 26 years old. I had a very small child, and I was an avid reader, and I had gone to the local bookstore to buy something, and there was a bookcase in the very front that showcased all the new releases, and one of the books caught my eye, and it was Whitley Strieber's Communion. And I think I speak for many others when I say that when I saw the cover of that book, I was just in shock, actually. But I had to pick it up, and I opened it up, and I read the cover leaf, and I read what it was about, and I bought it straight away and read it in a day. And when I read that book, everything, just all the pieces came together. Whitley talking about his childhood experiences just opened up the Pandora's box for me. And I realized at that point that all these weird things that had happened to me in my whole life were not imagined or dreamed, that they were my reality. And those things went all the way back to 1966 when I was only 4 years old. And I had some very strong memories of what I thought were dreams, where I saw little beings that would carry me back to my bed in the middle of the night. I never really saw them in the way that we would see them as an adult, because at the time when you're so young, your imagination tends to play with you a bit. And I imagined that they were imaginary friends, that they were maybe dream creatures or ghosts or even, you know, something definitely malevolent. But after reading Communion, I realized that what I saw was exactly what Whitley had described. And at the one point, I almost felt a huge sigh of relief. But on the other hand, I was absolutely mortified, because I had no idea. I had no memories of just the things that he had remembered. I didn't have any memories of anything horrible happening, but I did have a really strong sense that something bad had happened, because I do remember one instance waking up in the morning and asking my mother for a Band-Aid for my belly button, because they had told me that if I didn't put a Band-Aid on it and if I touch it, it would get infected. Now, where would that come from? You know what I mean? That was just so random.
Now, did that seem like a dream at the time? Like,
yeah.
You don't remember dreams, do you? Like, a dream, you'll sort of just, you know, the next day you'll be like, I dreamt last night, but I can't really remember what it was. And I find it common, like even Rodwell, Mary Rodwell was on the first show, and she was saying, you know, these are things, you know, a dream's a dream, and it's very vague, or you can't remember it, where these are, you can remember detail.
Yeah, and I didn't remember the detail, but I did remember the message. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I don't necessarily remember exactly the whatever prompted me to remember it. I just remembered it very strongly, that it was, and I was emphatic about it. I mean, I needed a Band-Aid right now. And my mother thought I was insane. And she just said, oh, honey, you must have had a dream last night. And I said, no. And so she did, you know, went and got the Band-Aid and I put it on. And then I went up on my merry way. So I never really gave any other second thought about it. I just kind of forgotten about it until, which was really strange. Why would I remember something like that my whole life up until that point? Why would that leave such an impression on me? And I had another experience. I believe it was in the same year I was in preschool. So I'm guessing I was right around the same age. And I was at my preschool and I was pretty much a loner. I hated nap time, and right after nap time was recess. And so I couldn't wait for recess so I could just go and do my thing. And there was a little hole in the fence and I slipped through the hole and I wandered behind the play yard, and there was a big field there, and there was an abandoned, look like a little shed. And when I went in there, I realized that there was it must have been like a tack room for horses, because there were bridles on the walls, but it was all overgrown with weeds, so it must have been abandoned. And I had the weirdest sensation, because all of a sudden it got really, really hot. And I looked around, I could see the sunlight coming in through the slats of the wood on the walls. And when I looked up into the top of the barn, I saw an owl. And I had never seen an owl before. And I Well, you know, I was so young. I didn't really know what normal was. Do you know what I'm saying?
There's not many incidences like that where, even just recently, we've sort of doing contact work out of town, just with a couple of other experiences. Oh, one of them was another experiencer, and one of them was my neighbor. We went out there and some stuff flew by, but on the way out, we had this huge owl. Like, it had to have been 4 foot big, and it just, I was driving the car out, and this thing literally appeared out of nothing, came at the windshield, and then it went to the left of the car by the time it would have hit the windshield, and it just, I saw it blink out. And the funny thing is that everyone saw it, and even my neighbor in the back seat said that was bigger than your windshield. And I've had a couple of experiences with the owls as well. So I find that interesting that you've brought up, you've seen an owl. And what happened after you recognized it?
Well, I recognized this owl, and I was actually just amazed at it. And I remember it was just, it kind of tilted its head and was looking at me, and I was looking at it. And at that moment, everything got very, very bright. Like if you were going to lose consciousness, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I heard this extremely loud, like a buzzing sound, like a swarm of bees. And I plugged my ears, but it wouldn't go away. It was almost like it was inside of my head. And no matter what I did, I couldn't get it to stop. And so I remember just sitting down on the ground and holding my ears and closing my eyes until it went away. And it finally stopped. And when I opened my eyes, it was dark outside. And I was freaking out. I thought I had passed out or that I had fallen asleep. But I realized that I was in really big trouble, because if it was dark, that means that school was out, number one, you know. And then I heard a bunch of people calling my name, and I heard my mother's voice. And I ran outside, and they had flashlights, and my mother saw me, and she yelled for me, and she grabbed my arm, and she said, you know, what the hell are you doing? And I said, I have no idea what happened. And all she said was, wait until your father gets home. You're in big trouble. And she smacked me on the butt. And I thought, oh, my God, I think I realized at that point that how could I explain this? You know, no matter what I said, nobody would believe me.
And I felt like that.
Yeah. And so I felt very separated then, because I thought, who's going to believe these crazy things that are happening, that nobody else it's happening to them? So I just never talked about it, and I just kept it to myself. And that was throughout my earlier years. And then we moved in 1969, and the experience followed me to my new house. And I remember I was about, I was 7 years old when I moved there. And the experiences continued. I had what had happened though is it had changed, because as I had gotten older, I was more aware and I had more fear. I think that when we're younger, we're a lot more fearless.
Yeah, yep.
But as you get older, you know, you start questioning things, and all of a sudden things start becoming more real. And now I was afraid because I had a feeling sometimes when I was sleeping and I would wake up with a start knowing that something bad was going to happen. And whenever that happened, I would try and hide. But I knew in my heart that I couldn't hide because I always knew that they were going to find me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you know exactly what you're saying. Yep.
It's just, I think, a natural human reflex to hide, you know, when you think something's after you. And that's exactly how I felt. So I had these experiences there where I could see the light coming in through the window. And then I remember the last thing I remember is being put back into my bed and the covers being pulled up to my neck. And then I'm asleep. But I don't have any recollection of what happened in between. And I think, I don't know if you feel the same way about this, but I feel that in this experience, we only remember what we're supposed to in its time. And I know that a lot of people have a lot of questions that need to be answered, and a lot of people opt to have regression, to fill in those gaps for whatever reason.
No, I'd agree with that. I got my first regression done. Like, I wrote my first three books on my experiences without any hypnosis, and I've only had one done, and funny enough, the actual beings come through me and spoke. That was with Mary Rodwell, which is up on the net. But that I did that because there was something that was paying me off, and I realized, you know, somebody was with me, and there was a lot to it. And I thought, I'll give this a go. But I think what happens, just in my opinion, is and you've spoken about it too, is information downloads. And it's just like, also, you'll get this information and it will come to the surface when the time is right. But going back a little bit, I think what happens is you remember, you know, being put back or whatever. And I just think that you won't remember either one is because you can't handle it in the body computer, in a human mind, or that it's just put to the back of the head, like the back of your mind, until the time's right and things will start to surface. Because it's how this sort of plays out, not just with yourself and me, it's sort of things will come to you. I have flashbacks during the middle of the day. It can happen any time. And I'll remember more of an experience, but before I could only remember, you know, a snippet of it. And it's sort of like as if something was released to you know, put some things to rest of where I once had questions. And it might be frustrating, but sometimes, like with one of my experiences with one of the beings, is that she told me I wouldn't understand. She told me where she was from, but I asked her whereabouts, and she said I wouldn't understand. And later I found out she was from an actual star. Now, where I was at the start when she first said I wouldn't understand, I realized later when she actually told me where she was from that I would have just flipped out if she told me that, because it's just like I wasn't thinking in bigger terms.
Right.
So I wouldn't be able to comprehend it exactly straight up. So I totally agree with that, where, you know, it's like as if later it will be bored out. I don't think it's a screen memory is, or even a mind wipe. It's sort of somehow put to the back of your mind until when it's needed, I think. It's because there are screen memories, but that's just sort of my spin on it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I think that there are triggers, I think, also that come up in our lives that make us remember, and those things happen when they're supposed to.
Yes, yeah.
And that's I think that's what happened with me, because I did receive something. I received something during one experience, and this experience happened in 1971. The experience changed for me, and it went from not remembering anything and having fear behind not remembering to having an experience where I actually just appeared on a craft. And I had no recollection of how I got there at all. All I did was just, boom, I was there. And I looked around, and all of a sudden, I was surrounded by the same grays that had been around me during my childhood. But they didn't even pay any attention to me, and I had no fear of them. And I couldn't understand why that was. It just didn't make any sense to me. And normally, I would be screaming bloody murder, you know, to get the hell out of there. But it was so calm and so peaceful. And in that situation, there were two humanoids as well. I don't know if they were hybrids or I don't know. They just didn't seem like they, I felt like they belonged, but I felt like they didn't. They were the only ones that made eye contact with me. And there was a boy and a girl, and they were probably, they looked like they were about 13, 14 years old. And they looked at me and then they looked away and went about their business. And this really tall being entered the room where I was standing, and he was, I mean, over 7 feet tall. He had to be. I mean, he was just huge. And he had a much larger head, and his forehead was kind of ridged. And he had on this long, almost like a silver shimmering cape. And he just looked down at me, and the only way I can describe it is if somebody was to give you like a telepathic hand on the shoulder,
mm-hmm.
like love, like calm, just it was just this warm, like comforting feeling, like it's okay, you belong here. It almost felt like I was going to be taught something or shown something, or I'm part of something. And I had this feeling that I had almost like graduated into the next level of the experience, if that makes any sense. But that's how I felt. And he telepathically told me to follow him over to the side of the craft. And when I did, he just took his hand up and he waved it across the side of the wall, and it just opened up like a window, and I could see the earth. And something clicked inside of me, and I remember going, oh, okay, I get it now. You know, it's like, this is making sense now. Okay, so then he told me to follow him again, and I followed him down a hallway that had many doorways with no doors on them. They were just arches. And I think the second or third one on the right that we passed, I looked in, and it was like a classroom of, it looked like young kids like me, like my age. And they were all watching like a slideshow. But it was so fast. It was like you really had to pay attention to really see what was being shown.
I've had a similar stuff. So I know what you're saying.
Really?
Seen screens. And it's like as if all this knowledge is just not right. Just visual, but the actual knowledge of the visuals of what you're seeing is just, and it's, and I've even had that done with the beings projecting it in front of me here, but consciously, not like in a craft or in a dream state, and also directly mind to mind. It's like as if they've, like it's like a billion pictures in a few seconds, and it's like as if you've got the full knowledge of each flicker.
Right.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what
you're
saying.
That's so true. And it was just almost like, you know, everyone says downloads, but I felt like it was kind of like that. It was almost like a subliminal message.
Yeah.
Where you're looking at something, but something else is coming through, and it's just, you know, apocalypse and war and famine and, you know, floods and destruction. And it was just mind blowing. And it made me really sad, actually. It really had an impression on me because I realized I almost felt embarrassed. Do you know what I'm saying? I thought, oh my God, you know, this is happening. This is real. And we have done this. And it was almost like, you know, yes, that is what you've done, you know, so.
Yeah, no, mine was similar to that. It was very devastating stuff at the start, but then it sort of went into where things are going to go if we shift timelines. And I could see glimmers of both if it didn't and if it did. And I know what you're saying. It's sort of like this is what's going on, where, you know, this is happening because we've let it happen. And it's just a sort of a huge reality check on such a bigger level than what you would normally think about. Like having
especially,
it exposed that way too.
Right. And especially one thing I think is interesting is quite possibly I'm thinking about the ages of all of us experiencing this, and we're so young. And, you know, when you're a kid, you just take things for granted. You go and you play and you go to school and you don't really know what's going on in the world. And I think there was a reason for this age group to be shown these things for that reason, to really keep it with us in our minds as we get older, you know, collectively, that maybe we might help plant a seed in the coming years of our evolution as a human being, each one of us individually, to talk about these things, and that we have been shown these things, that we need to talk about them openly and try and change this, because this is a reality. And as you and I both know, it is our reality right now.
Definitely, definitely. And I see it, like, looking back on the past with older experiences, and even before them, going back to, you know, the, like, Betty and Barney Hill, and you see the whole change. I can see a shift in just like, as a civilization, it's becoming more open and more talked about and more considered in the minds of those who, you know, if it was years beforehand, they would have just blew it off and said, you know, you're some nut from a trailer park or something. So I'm starting to see that now. And I've said it before, is like, I've got people coming up to me that know, you know, who I am and whatnot, but they won't come up and talk about UFOs, but they're talking about how they're seeing how bad things are, whether it's getting screwed over by the government or like what we're doing to the earth, just stuff where they're starting to think about it, where before they wouldn't even think about it too. It was sort of like, we'll just worry about what's on the news, and they wouldn't even ponder on the bad stuff that was on there. Not that there's much, you know, proper journalism going on, but I'm seeing a shift just in the average Joe in how they perceive what's going on and think about what's going on too. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have. And it's I think it's partly because people are just, they're sick of it, you know, and they're thinking, well, there's got to be a better way. And they're starting to open up and look at the possibilities that are out there. Maybe we do have control over the situation. Well, what can we do to rectify this? You know, people are a lot more open-minded, I think, now than they used to be, because I think there's a lot of desperation going on out there.
Definitely. It's like it's sort of like this like the storm before, you know, clear, nice day. That's the way I'm looking at it now, is that we're going to go through some shakeups and that type of thing. But that's, it's like in life, you've got to go through bad before things get good, because there's got to be that shift phase. And I think this is sort of part of it now. Like, personally, I think up till 2016, we're going to see a lot more. I think there was a form of shift of consciousness at the end of 2012. I didn't believe in the doomsday, anything like that. But I could see where, even in the past year, of people opening their mind like they had never opened it before, just the average Joe. And I think that all this is sort of coming out now. I've been talking about this with one of my friends, is constantly, you know, people are being exposed, whether they're in government or politics or whatever. Everything's sort of coming to the surface now. And that's the only way I can put it, is it's like the storm, like we're about to hit a big storm and then the calm's going to come. But it's more like a shift in civilization and how we think and how we do things. I'm not saying, you know, the world's going to end and we're all going to go through hell, you know, but there are going to be some testing times ahead, because like anybody, even other experiences, what will happen is, I've said to people, is that you will be tested. You'll be tested emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually, because you can't just go to enlightenment, you know, just at a click of a finger, or start meditating and think, you know, all's good now. But there are processes where there's, you know, things that will pay you off, and that's just the way I've seen it, because it just can't happen overnight. It would be too much of a shock to the system in this change of consciousness. And, you know, it's a huge spiritual component to it as well, as, you know, I think most experiences work out.
Yeah, and I think also that there's quite a big possibility that the only way we're going to be able to comprehend what's going to happen is by us evolving consciously.
Yep.
And if we don't, it's almost like we'll never see it. For example, I saw a craft in 2011, I believe it was, on 4th of July in California when I was living there, and there were about seven of us at this barbecue, and I saw it right away, and then I brought it to everyone's attention, but only three of us could see it.
Yeah, I've had that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's almost like if you want to describe or explain that, and giving an analogy, that would be a good one, as far as being able to see things in a different perspective only if you're open consciously to be able to see it. It's the same with seeing the shiny object. Sometimes people just aren't even, they just can't even see it because they can't even comprehend that that's even possible.
Yeah. Now, well, there's a big filter in the brain, like, and consciousness has got, you know, the most part of it once you get to the later stages of it. Like Albert Einstein said, you can't solve a problem with the same level of consciousness that created it. And right. That's where we've got to go and just up it. But I know what you're saying about that with the crafts, definitely, because that's happened so many times. And you look at even science now, they're realizing that the electromagnetic spectrum is 0.005% of what we can actually see. We can only see a fraction of that electromagnetic spectrum unless we've got infrared or UV cameras. And then just what we can hear as humans is very small compared to some animals. Like bats can hear a lot more, and dogs and cats, and I show this to people, and it's sort of a reason why I do that is to say, well, this is scientifically proven that we can only see this amount. So what's to say that what I'm seeing isn't there? And number two, look at what we can hear. Dog, you know, everyone knows that a dog can hear a lot more than us. And who's saying that just because we can't hear it, it's not real?
So very true.
I think it's expanding. The awareness, and I think it's just something that, you know, it doesn't stop. Every day you evolve sort of with this type of thing. It's just every day you're learning something new, something, you know, you're connecting the dots. So it's fascinating stuff.
It is fascinating.
So you're in some of your, like one of the talks I heard, you were talking about a possibility of military involvement with some of this.
Yeah, I'm so not 100% sure. You know, I think it's just based on my own family history and my own self-discovery. You know, once you start getting into the subject, and I don't know how long that you've been doing your research for yourself, but
I've seen the connection, not personally from, even though I have been abducted by the military, but I haven't seen. Like my dad was a cop for 38 years, and yes, going back, there were some people that were in World War One and Two in the family, but there's nothing sort of hardcore. But then, like, for example, Romanek's case, there is that connection, and I've looked at other cases where there has been a connection to it. So I don't blow it off. I don't think that's what's going on with me. I don't know. I've got an idea why the military attacked me, and I've been shown why, but these, like, it's with technology, basically lower form of ET technology, but I don't blow it off because of how I've looked at it. I have studied it, and there is something mm-hmm. there. And I've seen that they do work with some ETs. There is a sort of exchange, something going on of information or whatever you want to go into, whether it's craft or beings or hybrid, you know, stuff or whatever it is. But, yeah, that's why I brought it up, because I'd like to sort of get your spin on it.
Well, I was doing a lot of research and listening to a lot of interviews and trying to make some sense of my life by trying to compare it to other people's experiences like we're doing here. And I did listen to a few interviews with people who did have military involvement, and all of a sudden these red flags started popping up left and right. And I just thought, oh my God, you know, well, what if it's because, you know, my father worked for JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratories in Pasadena, at the same time that my grandfather was working for Caltech in the same area. Now, my grandfather worked on the first Apollo mission and actually made the first hammer that went to the moon, which I thought was interesting.
Ooh.
My grandfather did. And then I had these weird experiences when I was a child that, for whatever reason, my mother thought that I had an extremely high IQ. And so she took me to have my IQ tested when I was 5, and I scored extremely high. And so they put me in this weird school where I like was totally segregated from everybody else and had to do, you know, different tests. And I do remember one in particular. We were in a classroom setting, and we had these little cubicles. And we had these little boxes that we had to try and guess what the other person on the other side, the color that they were pushing at the time that they pushed it. And so we'd have to try and push. Then I realized it was more like mind reading, like developing our psychic abilities possibly, mm-hmm. or or knowing that we were psychic going into it and trying to hone them. So I always thought that was a little bit different. Ironically, I grew up being very psychic and also having a lot of precognition.
That's a big part of this. Definitely.
Yes, I've heard. And so, you know, it's weird. It's like, does the cart come before the horse in this? You know, is it spawned from nurturing that, or is it something that is just innate in us that we're born with and it develops over time? Or is it just connected to the phenomenon wholeheartedly? I'm not sure about any of that. And as far as my father, I'm not sure if there was any involvement. I do know that there were some very sketchy things that happened at the company that he did work for. There was definitely a Freemason type of situation. There was a lot of ritualistic practices mm-hmm. done. Yep. So therefore, again, I have no proof of any of this, but it's all speculation.
Yeah.
I try not to attach myself to it emotionally because to me it's very negative. And that's not who I am. I don't want to give it any energy to have it be back into my life. Do you
exactly.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Keep positive and just sort of keep that stuff where it needs to be. And because, you know, all that sort of, you know, word vibration and thought vibration, it all affects everything.
But
with
does.
The precognition and sort of psychic stuff, I notice with myself, and like yourself, I can't say what, you know, the horse before the cart or up. You know, you just don't know how it works because... I was sort of psychic growing up, and my mum is like very aware, in tune, like my stepdad says, it's absolutely freaky. But with myself, it was like I started doing meditation and remote viewing, like the SRI type, the military type, at the same time. I think what was weird is that I've looked back now, and I don't think I could be able to like astral travel when I want. Not all the time, but basically I know that if I meditate, what's going to come through is meant to come through, whether I leave the body, have interactions, have down, you know, whatever happens. I know that that's just how it works out, but I don't think I would have got to where I am now or as quick as if I hadn't done remote viewing and meditation separately, but during the same time period. I don't do it so much now because it's sort of, I don't really need the paper and do it that way to do it now, but from there, it's sort of like everything opened up. And I just look back going, you know, if I hadn't done those two at the same time, I don't know where I'd be now. But then things happen for a reason and everything happens in the way it's meant to. So you get to where you got to go. But with that, I'm the same as you. I just sort of don't know what to think or where to go with that sort of thing. But, it's very, very interesting. So, you're talking about an experience, which is funny, where a gold disc came in a window and turned into a being, and I've actually seen orbs do that.
Wow.
And yeah, would you like to tell the audience about that? Because I was sitting here, I didn't see a disc as I just said, but I like that's very like similar, except you know a different object coming into the house, manifesting into a being. It's pretty trippy stuff.
It is trippy, and at the time that this happened, my daughter was 3 years old and I was engaged to be remarried at the time, a year from that point. And so that was like 1989. And I was laying in bed next to my fiance and I couldn't sleep. And I looked up at the ceiling and all of a sudden these different shapes of almost like prismic lights were just swirling around on the ceiling. And I thought, wow, that's really, it was very beautiful.
Do they sort of look holographic?
You know, I'm thinking that they could have been, but they almost look like, for example, if somebody had like crystals in the window and they were just moving them in the sunlight. And so they would cast.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I felt like a little kid. I was just like, oh, that's so beautiful, you know, and at that moment, this disc, that's the best way I can describe it. It was probably about 4 inches in circumference,
mm-hmm.
and it just whizzed right past me, right over me, and it just shot to my left, and when I went to look at it to see where it went, I couldn't move. And I realized that there was a woman standing right next to my bed. And I could just see her in my periphery, and I could tell that it was a female energy. And now this is the first time in my life that I'd ever seen like a human being in my space without being on the craft. It was in my reality time, it seemed. And I was just so freaked out that I couldn't move, number one, that my fiance was still sleeping. And there was this woman standing there, and she just starts speaking to me telepathically. And she says, "Where I come from, marriage is the most sacred part of our existence. And I am giving you the chance to experience, for you to experience this if you wish." And I mean, I thought about that for a second. I just thought, oh my God, because I'm getting married in a year, right? And
quite convenient.
Right. So what's the message in that, you know? And but my only thought was, I'm so glad that you don't look like what you really look like, because if you did, I think I would freak out.
Mm. It's like that with some of them.
Said, well, if you'd like to know what I look like, look at the window. Now, if you were in that situation, what would you do? You know, you're horrified at the same time you're curious. And so, but I realized I couldn't really turn my head, so I just moved my eyes to the window, and I could see a mantis being hanging on my windowsill. Like a huge, his head was like bigger than a football. It was huge.
Yeah.
And I just, at that point, caught my breath, because I'm thinking, oh, I shouldn't have done that, you know? And then when I'm thinking, oh my God, my door, my bedroom door flies open. And the minute the door flies open, she runs and vanishes right through the wall. And I'm thinking, what in the hell is going on? I mean, now I'm seeing these three little blue beings come into my bedroom. Now, I'm thinking it's like a three-ring circus at this point. You know, you've got the mantis, you got the woman, you got the, you know, and I'm just...
What did the blue beings look like?
They looked like they were not very tall. They were, as I'm laying flat on my bed, they were just, I could just see their heads right above the foot of the bed with a little footboard. So they were probably about 3.5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were a little bit chubby, I'm going to say. They looked like little Michelin men, but like Smurfs.
Yeah, that's trippy, because I've seen the same. And my understanding is that they're from Andromeda somewhere, not this plane or dimension either, but that's... And they've got black eyes, eh?
Black eyes.
Yeah. No, that's the best description I've heard so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's really... Now, see... This, talking about this experience, in the past couple of years, I've only met about or spoken with or heard a few people talk about these beings, and they all sound exactly the same, which is interesting. And they came in and they said to me that my daughter, was throwing up and they couldn't get her to stop throwing up. Now, all these communications were all telepathic. And at that moment, I don't know what it was inside of me. I have to help my baby, my baby, my baby. And I just got out of bed.
Gone into mama mode. Move.
Pardon?
Gone into mama mode. Mom.
I was in mama mode. I was. Yep. I was. It was just like, you know, if I can't explain it. I mean, if you're not a mother, I guess you wouldn't know. But something takes over. And I just got out of the bed and went, as I went down the hallway, I heard her crying in her bedroom. And when I went in there, she just looked at me and she said, "I'm going to throw up." And she just started vomiting all over the bed. And I, at that point, my fiance woke up and he came down the hall and I brought her into the bathroom and I washed her off and I changed her bedding and laid in bed with her until she fell asleep. And in the morning when we woke up, she was absolutely fine. She wasn't sick at all. And she had an appetite, which I thought was strange. So I poured her some cereal and I went into the kitchen to get her some juice. And when we were in the kitchen, my fiance looked at me. We had kind of an inside joke because he was the only one that knew about my experiences. I had been honest with him, because I knew I couldn't promise him that he would not be involved in these experiences. And I just wanted to warn him, you know, it's like, if you can't handle it, then maybe we shouldn't be together. But this is my life. I can't control it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
And he opted to stay in the relationship. So I was very grateful for that. But I think his way of accepting it was to make light of it. And so he had a joke where he would say, did the visitors come last night because I slept like shit? Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And you've got to sort of make light of it as well with sort of thing. And my family do it. Like, I haven't got a wife or kids, or I've got hybrid kids, but I just don't have a partner or anything. But I know what you mean. It's sort of like, you've got to have that spin on it sometimes, or else you just go nuts.
You will. You'll absolutely go mad. So he kind of did the nudge thing. So, you know, and I said, shh. And I shushed him because I didn't want him to say anything in front of her, because I felt very strongly that she had been involved the night before somehow in this experience. And I said, yes. I said, but don't talk about it. And so I brought her juice over to the kitchen table, and she was doodling a little picture. And I looked down, and there was a little thing. It was like a little being or a person or a child, whatever, but it had a round head and little black eyes and a little body. And then it had this little squiggly shape over its head. And I said, oh, honey, that's really cute. What is that? And she said, well, it's the animal from my dream last night. And I was at that point a little bit frightened, because I had a feeling that, you know, this was not going to go in a good way. But I didn't want to frighten her, but I wanted to know more. And so I just prompted her in a positive way. And I said, well, it doesn't really look like a person, honey. And she says, well, they're not really people. I'm sorry. I said, it doesn't look like an animal. And she said, well, they're not really animals, but they're not really people either. And I said, huh, okay, well, so what are these things on the side of its head? She goes, well, that's where the ears should be, but they don't have any ears. And I said, well, what did it look like? And she said, well, there were three of them and they were blue.
Trippy.
Yeah, and scary trippy at that point.
Oh, it would be for you too, because it's, you know, like you were saying to your fiance at the time, is that, you know, this, you can't guarantee who this affects, when it happens and what happens. And have they seen more stuff since that time? Like, has it gone into their lives at all?
No, you know, that daughter, I have two daughters. The older one, who was 3 at the time this happened, is now 27. And the younger one is 21. The 27-year-old who had this experience has no memory. She refuses to talk about it, and she flat out says, I don't believe in it. And I have to leave it alone, because I can't. I mean, I know what it's like to live in fear, and I was right around the same age that she was when I had my own self-discovery. So again, everything in its time. Things might unfold. She might remember. We just had a really strange instance happen not too long ago. Her father had sent her a text message. And when my girls were very young, they're about five and a half years apart, they had imaginary playmates. And they had two in particular. And their names were Rashra and Balia. And I've written them down, and I've remembered this for years and years. My older daughter just received a text message that she posted on Instagram not too long ago, and to her sister, saying, you're not going to believe this, but Daddy just texted me this, that they were at a dinner party, he and his wife, and they just met a couple named Rashra and Balia. Now, I don't know what it means, but I mean, tell me that you've ever heard those names in your life before. I've even Google mapped it or gone into the
stars. What came to my
head
is that Balia, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Balia.
Sounds, I'd sort Pleiadian straight away. Because
do you know what I'm
That's trippy. It's like that. Like, I know they walk among us. As crazy as that will sound to the listeners, like, we are them and they are us. We're a mixture of many of these races, and they could walk among us. But I can't say that for sure, but that's just the first thing when you said that came to my mind was that.
Yeah, I knew right away. I mean, I kept this in my back pocket all these years, you know, just to try and, you know, tie these little puzzle pieces together. And if they had these imaginary playmates, which, again, I'm not going to press them and say, I demand you to tell me all about them, you know, that's their experience. They own it. It's theirs. They already think I'm crazy as it is, so I don't need to make it any worse. So,
yeah.
But the oddity of having that and him remembering that as well, which is interesting because he wasn't an experiencer as far as I know, but he kept it in his back pocket as well, exactly the names, the way that they were pronounced. So who were these people sitting across from them at this dinner party that were the imaginary playmates' names of my children?
Yeah, that's just... is that synchronicity or, you know, who knows what that is? Like, I don't believe there's no such thing as a coincidence from everything that's gone on in with my experiences in my life now. There's no such thing as it to me. I don't know what to say about that. Like, that's what came to my head, and I just don't know either, but that's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And I just literally read this about 3 days ago. So, you know, now I'm thinking, so what's going through my daughter's minds? You know, why? See, that's where these little breadcrumbs start being dropped in experiencers' lives, you know.
What came to your mind when you heard about this happening? Was there any sort of thing that sort of your consciousness led to straight away or?
Yeah, exactly what you said. I felt like.
That was a Pleiadian name.
Well, I think that, you know, my first thought was these beings had come to them to say, you will meet us again type of thing. And we will be in your life again, or somehow they will be connected to you in some way. And almost like, remember this. And so that now that it is present in their lives again, that memory comes back. So they realize that, you know, time is man-made.
Time doesn't exist. Yeah. Time is just conformed to us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they can, like one of my hybrid daughters, she was very young and one day she was playing out the front here and basically disappeared out of thin air with your son. And then I saw her, I reckon probably 4 or 5 months later, and she was a teenager. I knew it was her, and she disappeared again. Like, she was crossing a road and walked behind me, and by the time I saw her get to the other side and I pulled the car over and got out of the car, she wasn't there, and it was at the front of the school, and she would have had to hop these probably seven and a half foot steel fences that are around the schools here in Australia, and there's no way, and I still would have been able to see through the fence. I saw across the road, it just disappeared out of thin air. So that's like something I've said to people where, you know, that just trips me out that they can, like, I don't even think it's aging that quick. I think it's just popping in and out when they want at whatever sort of level of, not time, but how they exist. It's just sort of that they can pop in and out, and that's my take on stuff.
How is that for you? Now I'm going to be the interviewer here. I need to ask you a couple of questions about this because I've never experienced that myself, and I know that there are others out there who have. Now, when you do see these hybrid children, how do they appear to you? Do they appear to you in a full human form to you? Do you feel like solid mass? Do you feel they're more holographic? Do you feel any sort of like an energy to them?
They look like normal Earth children, but their eyes are probably 2-3 times the size. And they're very, very blue. Some of them have got green eyes because I found out about 3 more lately. Like what they were wearing was just similar to what kids wear. They were kicking a red ball around out the front here, which was just weird. And I could hear them giggling and laughing. But when I thought, because I live in a set of flats up the back and there's sort of no fence out the back and I've got a huge front lawn. And when I looked at them, and I can remember seeing them on the craft as well, it's like as if They just say, like, they just, I can't explain the love, the I know you, and all, it's like as if I knew them, is the best way. When you look at them, it's sort of like, it's telepathic communication, but I could hear them laugh. There was no words, but they giggle and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it in terms of, like, I used to get emotional, and every now and then I still get emotional about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, you just wish you could, you know, be there with them. And you sort of, well, I'm not a parent, but I sort of have this parenting wanting to do stuff. But at the same time, I think I know that they're way, way ahead of us in consciousness and how they're evolved, that there's no way it's that I could even provide for them. Or it's like they're brought up in another place doing what they do. And, you know, I think they come down here to communicate and say g'day or whatever when they've got a chance or whatever. But I think at the same time, I just get the feeling that there's no way I could do anything for them or teach them anything because they're so far ahead. That's just what I get from the whole thing.
Do you have any memories of actually doing any direct communication with them, like years and years ago when they were very, very small? Were they ever presented to you?
No, I've heard of that.
As infants?
That's very similar with a lot of cases, but I've got a few ideas, but there's, put it this way, I sort of need more confirmation to say yeah.
Mm.
Now, I've got a few ideas at the moment where I'm sort of just sitting things in the back of my mind on the back burner, just going, if this happens or this happens, they're not going to say yeah, because I have thought about that. There's just some weird things that, yeah, the point to that, but I can't say it. Like, I'm not, if I said it to you, yes, I wouldn't be saying it full-heartedly.
Right, I see.
But there was trippy incidents where I met this lady that's 41, I think, and I've just turned 30 last week, and she wrote a message on Facebook saying that this hasn't happened for years, blah, blah, blah. She's never talked about being abducted or UFOs or anything, and I said to her, do you need to talk? And then straight away, I said, you've been abducted, haven't you? And she sent me this photo of three marks, which to me look like Orion's belt, because that's where apparently I'm from. I've reincarnated down from there, and that's where the two of the kids are from, Orion as well. And she said, I picked up my mate at about, I think, 5 or 6 in the morning from his work, and they saw a big flash of light, and the car dropped back down on the ground, and all of a sudden she had this mark on her arm. And then she came up here, and I took her out to some places I used to go and investigate paranormal stuff, and to cut a long story short, we went for a drive from there to Mount Buffalo. I couldn't find the turn off. Next minute, the car, there's like, the only way I can describe it is like an angel playing a didgeridoo throughout everywhere while I'm driving the car, and nothing seemed right. And then when we got to Myrtleford, this town, I had to turn right, not to Mount Buffalo. I took a totally different direction. I knew where it went because I'd been there since I was a kid. We got out of the car. We both looked about above the car, and this disc, I reckon probably, oh, I don't know how big it was, like, but the reason why I don't know how big it was is it blinked in and out above us, above the car when we got out. And she's like, did you see that? And I wasn't going to say anything.
Right.
And then we both automatically drained, came home, talked to Mary Rodwell, and then she said, was this a sound, Pete? And I said, what the hell is that? And she goes, James Gilliland recorded it on his ranch. It's the sound of a UFO. And I'm like, shit, that's what that sound was. And then that's why I got the hypnosis done. And then I found out they took me aboard a craft to see three more kids that I hadn't met yet. And she, coincidentally, happened to be the mother of two of them.
What?
Yeah, so here's a chick.
How did you find that out?
Because the hypnosis said all that, and you've got to remember too, it's for free to see on YouTube, the whole thing. The beings jumped into my body as well, not at that stage. You can see me vibrating on and off for about 5 minutes. But at the start of it, the first 20 minutes, I can't remember from then on. I can remember seeing Andromedans, Pleiadians, Syrians, and the Orions, all different groups. They were actually in sort of a black background sitting in levels to my right, but I was out of body after one of the beings jumped in my body, and I could see that. But when, at the start of it, the being that was talking to me was telling me that Carol was the mother of two of the kids, and they took us on board to hang out with the kids.
What?
Yeah. Or to introduce me in this frame of mind to see the kids. And that's when I found out there was more. Now, trippy enough, I'll take you back. The night that happened, I woke up at about 3 or 4 and I heard a young male's voice saying mum and dad in the house.
What?
Yeah. And then I told Carol about it and she was saying to me, I don't know what to say, but she goes, I think I've got kids with you. Because she was telling me about a boy that rocks up in her house as well and a girl. And she said they appear out of thin air and they're saying, mum, mum, mum. And she'll wake up to it and she'll go and see her 2 kids because she's divorced and got 2 kids. And they're recognising activity too, but she knows it wasn't them. Because they're seeing trippy shit as well in the house and having to live with it. And I sort of more evolved. It's not being up myself, but I'm sort of more evolved than where a lot others are. And I always say to people, call me up if shit's tripping you out, whatever, just call me up because I know what it's like to have no one to talk to. And we communicate a fair bit. But they're sort of like the incidences that or experiences I've had with the kids, but I can't really like remember consciously, you know, talking to them or anything like that. So
they're almost they're always like in the periphery.
Well, like that, even with the experiences I do remember, they're in front of me, they're solid. Here I could hear the sound of them kicking the ball, running around, the swishing on the grass, all that sort of stuff. But it's just, I reckon that's happened, like there's been full communication, but like we were saying before, it's either like a screen memory or something else put in, or it's put to the back of the mind, so you like there's no revealing it to your human conscious mind, which really to me is the subconscious, because really consciousness is all that is, you know, ever will be in future, past, present, because it doesn't exist, it's all at once. So that's where I was saying to you before, I just sort of don't know what to say, that type of thing, because I think that I've had full-on experiences with them. I'm just not allowed to remember, or my higher self is saying it's not time for you and this body computer to know yet.
I wonder why that's been so prevalent in so many experiences where we're not allowed to... It's not that we wouldn't understand, but we're not... It's almost like the tone is we're not allowed to know yet.
Well, I think it's like we come in here basically with amnesia. Some of us don't, like knowing our, like I've got recollection of a lot of past lives and other things like that. But I think sometimes with the level that we're at, we wouldn't be able to function, and sometimes we wouldn't be able to do what we've got to do if we did know.
It's true.
Because this is where it all comes into play. Like even with the from what I know, and it's similar to Dolores Cannon, is that I know that there's a large majority of experiences that are basically star seeds that aren't here for anything but energy. And usually they're probably the spirits beforehand reincarnating that wouldn't be able to deal with it. They can see what happens when you're in the body computer of this type of human that is so screwed up. So they're probably just, you know, said, you know, if you want to go for a chance down here to Earth and have amnesia and not know what's going on, you still want to help with the shift, well, go ahead. But it's a pretty crappy place. But it's like, so a lot of us are here just for energy.
Getting back to Dolores Cannon, because I think it's important that you're talking about this, but do you then believe or think that you possibly chose to come here to do this work
existence? I've been shown a holographic image of me making basically a contract with these beings that, yeah, if, coincidentally, it's almost the same as Stan's case, is they were Elohim. These blue, light blue light beings, like you could see, like liquidy light beings. And that's when everything came to light that I'm from Orion, and then they showed me the Primanus beings, and all the beings that I've interacted with, they've shown me that they work with them and that there's a lot more, but that was just too much to go with. They showed me what I needed to know. And that's why I can say this with such conviction, because I know this, I've seen this, I've interacted with this and had this revealed to me, where a lot don't. That's why there's a lot of experiences where they're sort of up and are about the starseed thing, but that's how it's been revealed to me, and it's been revealed to me that that is what's going on. So that's why I can say that, like, it's not a theory to me. That's the way it is. And I'm finding what's weird too is the different ages, like, I've noticed that I'm sort of more evolved than some older than me, and yet I'm coming across people younger. I'm 30, I'm coming across people younger than me, and they're actually more evolved than me. And I'm seeing the kids just kick butt in everything that they do. They're improving their psychic ability, the way they look at things in detail and how they can see change and how they produce change. This is where I think this is how it's playing out, because it was basically showed to me in different waves, like Dolores talks about too. And, you know, that's, I got told by so many people before I had read her book. I didn't even know who she was until my brother said to me, he goes, I believe you, man, that you're having what's happening is happening. And he's had experiences too, but he didn't tell me this until recently. But at the time, I didn't know. And he said, you've got to read Dolores Cannon's books. And I'm like, who the hell's Dolores Cannon? Didn't have an idea about her. And he goes, the same shit you're talking about, the same information you've got is the same of what she's got over many years, over thousands of, you know, clients. And he goes, you've basically got a cut version of that in just a few years of full interactions that you can remember now in a conscious mind. Because it's been happening all my life, but I didn't wake up to it being all my life until later on. So connecting the dots, like sort of like yourself, you know, you've got this trippy stuff happening, but until something happens, it's like they smack you on the ass and go, wake up, you know, and then you're waking up. And then every day is not the same after then, because you end up being like us. You want to help the others that are having experiences. You want to network. You want to put stuff out there. You know, like yourself, the podcast shows and all that, same with me. You just want to get as much information out there at a ground roots level and the people that really matter. That you just do what you've got to do. There's no, it's not a chore. You just do what you've got to do. But you know.
I mean, don't you think it's interesting that what you can't unknow it. Once you know it, you can never get it out of your mind, and so you know that this is the way it is.
Oh, exactly.
And that will never change. It'll only evolve into something even bigger than what you already know.
No, 100%. And I've said that to my mum and dad too, and their partners and my families, that I can't go and have the normal job and the family and kids and all this crap that can, you know, want to put myself in thousands of dollars of debt. I said, I know what I know, and I'd be doing myself an injustice, and I just couldn't do it going back to the way things were. It's just not a possibility for me. It's like, this is what I've got to do. I've got to do it, and I don't care about what, you know, human society dictates to me of their consequences, because I just don't care. I know that I'll be looked after. I'll know that what I need to do will be done, and I'll have help where I need it. And if I'm not meant to do some things, that will not be produced either. And they know that now, but it was frustrating for a time, because now, you know, I've taken my mum out and she's seen crafts, and she saw a craft, you know, 2 weeks ago fly past the house in the middle of the day. And you know, now other people in the family are having interactions, and my dad's seen stuff and other people. So that's sort of where I asked them to go, you know, come down here and do something, because if I need any support, I need my mum and I need my dad and I need my family to support me. And I said, they're not going to believe shit till they see it.
Right.
And at that time is when, in a matter, I think, of 2 or 3 weeks, my mum and dad started seeing stuff, and my mum's friends and that type of thing, which I was just like, cool, thanks for doing that, because now they can understand where I'm coming from.
Right. Well, do you think that also there's a possibility that in your case it might be a generational thing? You know, maybe they have been experiencers.
That is so common, and I think that might be a possibility with my mum, because all the signs that point to, you know, being a loner at school, not fitting in, seeing how things are done in such a, you know, an unproductive way, having awareness. She's got all the signs of a starseed or an experiencer at an early age, because I have a certain sort of list in my mind where I'll wrap things off when I start talking to people that are coming to me saying they're having experiences. And, you know, they usually tick all the box. And then, you know, there are people out there that are full of it, unfortunately. And I don't know why this is, because it makes us, you know, look even more nuts than what we already appear. But I find these things commonality with all experiences at an early age, and even just within their personality. And she's got that, but she can't remember anything, or just nothing weird, you know, trippy stuff. But stuff's happening now where she's seeing crafts and that, and she's opened up now. Maybe she wasn't meant to be activated until a later date. I don't know.
Right, right. When I was in my teens, I remember my mother had told me out of the blue, just, it's almost like she was in a trance. She just looked at me and she said, "You know, I can leave my body at night when I sleep." And I was like, "Oh, that's interesting. Great. Good for you. Awesome." You know, but then as I started really doing my research about this experience, I realized that that's, you know, maybe part of her being an experiencer as well. When I did get Communion, the book, and I brought it over to her house so she could babysit my daughter, she looked right at the book's cover and she said, "You know, both of your grandparents and myself, we all saw UFOs together." So why would she put that with that face of the book?
Yeah.
That was the first time that that had ever come out, that drawing, do you know what I mean, publicly. So I thought that was very peculiar.
No, it is. And what gets me just with talking to you too is that a lot of experiences sort of have, you know, the greys or maybe one another being, but what gets me is there's a huge variety, like with myself, mm-hmm. that you're interacting with.
Oh, yeah.
And do you, like, I know what I know, and that's just what I know, but is there anything that within you, like, as if they're old friends, like you're them and they're you, is there anything that you've thought about just to yourself, thinking, you know, going to terms of reincarnation, that you might be from somewhere else and all that? Really, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty and people go, "I want to know where I'm from," well, I'll say you're from the God source, you know, and if you want to know what lives you've had millions, if not billions of them, and you've been a lot of things. And it's like they just want to know where they're from, but it's a lot bigger than that.
I've always been a sky watcher, as far back as I can remember. And when I was a little girl, I wanted to be an astronaut. And I remember all the boys saying, "Girls aren't astronauts, girls are nurses." And I got really mad and I said, "How dare you?" It's like, you didn't tell me what I can be. And I remember that being so emphatic about it. But I have always felt very much a loner and not really feeling like, I don't know, part of my peer group at all. I was very much a bookworm. But as I got older, I always did have an affinity to the stars, and I was always drawn to one constellation in particular, and that was Orion.
That's tripped me out, because other people that have been revealed to be Orion to me through my experiences, I'll usually ask people, is there a constellation you usually look at, and you just got to look at it. Don't know why, and you've been looking at it since you were a kid. And those who happen to be part of, I'll say the crew now, even though we're all one crew, but those that sort of, I know that I work with behind the scenes, that are experiences, they all come from there, funny enough.
Well, you know, and I don't even know what my attachment to it is. It's just that I've always enjoyed it. And I remember when I got my first telescope and I could look at the Orion Nebula, and I just thought that was so incredible, just to see the multidimensional aspect of seeing something through my telescope for the first time. It was just magnificent, and it was frightening at the same time, because then it was real. Do you know what I mean? Just when you look at the sky, it looks very two-dimensional, but once you get through the telescope and you see a nebula, it's just, forget it, you know, you lose it.
It's awesome.
So I did have a couple of experiences with being in a really, really bad place in my life, and as a lot of people would get on their knees and pray to God, you know, please help me for guidance, and please show me the way or what have you, I got on my knees and I would look up at Orion and I would say, please, you know, I can't do this anymore. And in one instance in particular, I was just devastated. I had never cried so much in my life, and I was just pleading for release from my situation. And I said, please let me know that you're there. And the minute that I said that, a shooting star just went right through Orion's belt.
Yeah.
And
I've actually got video of them powering up, going through it and like lighting you up, crafts lighting up, just pointing it up there.
Yeah, and then I thanked them, and then they did it again. Right when I thanked them, it happened again.
Oh, that's trippy. Even that that's just our system. You point, like you said, that's just pretty trippy stuff. You'd be spun out if you came down here to Australia, because we call it the saucepan, because it's upside down here, and the middle of the guts of it look like a saucepan. If you type it on the net, that's what everyone calls it, and you'll see a picture of how it looks like a saucepan.
That's funny.
I always look at the star Alnitek, which would be, it's right here. I think it would be the left star when you're looking at the middle of the belt. I always have to look at that star in the belt specifically. But that's trippy. Now, you go into meditation too, eh? Like, it's, all this has led that to you to it as well, just like myself.
It has, and you know, I've always been spiritual. I was raised Lutheran as a child and went through various religions my whole life trying to find, you know, God through religion, because that's what we're taught. And basically left the church completely, just realized that I was my own church. You know, I could pray and didn't need to have, you know, a cross in front of me or what have you. And about right when I was starting my own discovery, I was in contact with a gentleman who really helped me along my way quite a bit. And he told me that he felt that I was getting, he was getting messages from me from the Palladians. And at that point in my research, I'm like, oh, whatever. Right. Sure. You know what I mean? Palladians. What are you talking about? You know, I was very skeptical. I didn't know anything about being connected to anything. And he said, no, I am not kidding. He says, in fact, I want you, they're telling me right now that you need to meditate right now, that they have a message for you. And so to appease him, I did what he said, and it changed my life. That one moment, it was just an eye opener. I got a direct message, and it was everything that I needed to validate my experience. From that moment on, I was very open to meditation and the communication thereof, and the connection that's made through meditation. And when I think it was 2011, it was in July, I felt very strongly that somebody was trying to connect with me. And so I meditated and I asked for the connection. I said, please make yourself known to me and deliver the message that has been prepared. I am ready to receive it. And that night I was house sitting, and I went to sleep, and I woke up just like there was a bang or something. And I woke up with a start in the bed, and the dog was sleeping in the bed next to me, and she didn't wake up, but I did. And I looked at the clock, and I'm not kidding when I tell you that it was 3:33 in the morning. That comes up quite a bit. But I just thought, well, that was weird. What woke me up? And I looked at the door, and there were three grays standing there, and I had not seen them in years. And I'm talking, oh gosh, probably since I was my like mid to late 20s. And the weirdest thing happened. They just stood there, and I wasn't afraid.
As you said that, I had a huge flash of white light to the right of me in this room.
Right now?
Yeah. Even the other night, I was on Skype with UFOlogist Alan Ferguson up at his place, and I've got orbs flying all around me. I've recorded, but it's a bit jolty, but there's a lot that goes on here. But yeah, that just happened as you said that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you.
The amount of high strangers here is crazy, just like you would know yourself.
Okay, so let me tell you, that's interesting, because that's probably why this is coming up. They were there, okay? They appeared to me, but I almost laughed when I saw them, and I thought that was very odd. Why would I felt like, oh my God, you're kidding, right? And I just looked at them, and they were just standing there, and I felt this weird protection. Like, I almost felt like they were not allowed to engage with me at all. Like I was being protected by something else,
something
or someone
else.
Yep. Yes. Like there was an invisible barrier between us. And they basically impressed on me telepathically. They said, we are the Grays and we are here. I know that sounds really corny, but it almost made me feel like no matter what, we're always going to be around in the periphery. We're always going to be here, always. But I did feel that the experience has changed at that one instant. And I felt that they weren't allowed to, like I said, and maybe they're not allowed to collectively anymore, because I've heard that from a few people where they don't think that they are doing what they used to do to humans and experiments and what have you. I think that maybe it's evolving into something else, and maybe it is the evolution of the direct conscious connection.
It gets complicated, but because, like, personally, I know of many races. I know that some are us in the future. I know that two groups of greys, which are actually brown from Orion. I know of other greys, even these really tall ones, between 6 and 7, I would say probably 7 foot, that work just for the council. And this is where I say to people, it's like saying all greys, when they say all greys are bad, I'm saying, well, hey, it's like saying all Earth humans are bad, or just because of their colour or whatever, because I thought that in the beginning with a few interactions, but then what I've been seeing now is, you know, different colours of greys, different, like, sort of body structures, all humanoid, and then, you know, really tall ones, really short ones, and all that. And, like, I'd been abducted by them last October, and I've heard that same thing where, you know, apparently they're not doing what they're doing, and I've got the mark and everything, and so that's, like, something that's happened 13 months ago where that's occurred with me. I don't think they're all good, and I don't think they're all bad. I just think whatever set agenda people have, you know, the beings have got from whatever they're doing, you know, that's just what they're doing. And that's where it gets really complicated for myself, because others haven't been exposed to that many. And for me, you know, it's sort of a head screw, because, and then that's the conclusion I've come to is, you know, there's so many of them.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're, obviously they have an agenda and they do have a job just like us. And like you said, maybe there are good and bad in everything.
Yeah, I don't even think it's really good or bad even. I just think, like, because they're doing what they're doing, we perceive it as bad.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say, so it's our perception of what they're just doing what they know.
Yeah.
And it's not up to us. It's not up to them for us to comprehend it.
Yeah, and so I probably did the wrong thing trying to put it in easy layman's terms, but no, that's the better way, is that that's just how we perceive, you know, if they're doing something we don't like, oh, that's bad, you know. But then, you know, it's like a kid that needs a needle from a doctor. Kid hates the doctor, but maybe it's for their own good, although vaccines I don't agree with. So
Exactly.
Yeah, that's where it's complicated. But with my experiences with meditation, like, I'll get what I need to. And the only reason I did hypnosis is because I didn't know what happened that day. And I probably could have got it through meditation, but I teach it now, and sort of I won't just do it with anybody, because it sort of leads into intention experiments where I say to people, be careful what you want to see or wish for, because I don't think you're going to be able to handle a lot of what you think you're ready to see, because I still have a hard time processing a lot, and it's a lot more complicated information than what they would receive. But I can have beings rocking up in the house, I can appear in other places, I can get information downloaded. There's just so much of a variety where you go to meditate, it's not just, and people think it's to clear your mind, and I think it's been altered, because from what I've taught myself to be able to go out and do whatever it is, I think, and I ask myself, where's my thought? How do I perceive the sound of the birds? How do I perceive my own thinking? And it leads to my higher consciousness, which goes out to God consciousness and to other beings, where they're the beings that are on that level. If you see the resonant field of the God source, which is consciousness, which emanates throughout all planes and dimensions, that would be like an internet. And our spirit is a cell of that one internet, which connects to that server.
Right.
And anything that's on that level, you can hook up with.
Yes, so absolutely.
Is where all this leads, and you can have, you know, ascended sort of type masters come in, spiritual sort of guides or friends from past lives, and then you can have these other beings come through. And, you know, this is where it gets complicated too, because a lot of researchers just think ET, and you've got the interdimensional aspect, you've got the interplane aspect of those dimensions, and then you've got, yes, ETs in the 3D realm as well, so there's ETs, and then you've got crypto beings, and then
energy beings and light beings and sound beings.
Exactly, all this. All this where they don't want to hear it. But like I've said to a lot of them is that what you should do is not believe a darn word I've got to say. But what you should do is go and talk to as many experiencers that are willing to talk to you and just not jot down the commonalities.
Mm-hmm.
And even stuff that's sort of not really in the public domain that much unless you've read every darn book, you know, that you wouldn't really – they wouldn't be commonalities if otherwise. So because – like we were talking about before, is that we've all got a piece to the jigsaw puzzle, and it is a gigantic one. And that, you know, we start connecting and networking. It's whatever's going to happen is going to happen because the what's going on is so big that no wonder it sounds like a science fiction movie.
And maybe, you know, even if we only put the jigsaw puzzles of this reality together, who's to say that we could even comprehend the pieces of the other realities? Yeah. Exactly. So then where do we start?
Exactly. And I've said that many times is like, you know, there's been a state where I actually saw a blueprint of this universe and everything looked like a, even our spirit in this, it was like a, I was seeing a frequency of the blueprint of everything. And everything, whether it was the grass, the trees and beings and the earth and the planets and the sun, and even when I looked at galaxies, everything looked like a see-through purple hue soccer ball. And I went outside the universe, and the universe looked like one. Later, I found out that that's apparently what the universe looks like is a soccer ball. And I could see all these other universes, soccer balls around me. And at that point, I thought, I'm done. I can't even comprehend this. How the hell am I going to comprehend that?
Right. And maybe it's not for us to understand.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think we will see glimpses of that when we're ready. And obviously, I must have been ready, but I couldn't handle any more, and I still can't handle that to this day because it was so huge when you think in terms of the human mind, the body computer.
Right.
Very limited.
Very true.
So it's pretty full on, but I think we'll wrap it up there, Suzanne. And
sounds great.
I think we've got to have a chat another time. It was
I think you're awesome. Right.
Awesome.
So much more to talk about.
Definitely. Well, I'll put links up to where people download this.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Peter, for having me, and have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Have a good night.
Thanks, too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.